Bailouts and bonuses don't mix.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A report to be released this morning from the Special Inspector General overseeing the bailout says executives at the hobbled insurance giant AIG are clashing with government officials over bonuses. Again, Marketplace's Steve Henn has the details.
AIG's argument for bonuses is that they're necessary to hold on to highly skilled traders. But according to the report, lots of folks got bonuses last year even if they didn't have special skills, including more than $7,000 for a kitchen assistant. AIG employees already agreed to pay back $45 million in bonus payments, but Kenneth Feinberg, the U.S. Paysar, says the company's received less than half that. And employees at AIG's Financial Products Union are in line to get nearly $200 million more in bonuses early next year. This is the division of AIG that nearly brought down the company and severely damaged the global financial system. Feinberg can't break employment contracts that predate the government bailout, so instead, he's threatening to slash 2009 salaries. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The largest maker of computer chips in the world, Intel, reported better-than-expected earnings late yesterday after trading was through on Wall Street. This morning, investors around the world are taking notice. European stocks are way up this morning, almost 2%. Asian markets were mostly higher today as well. China said its big drop in exports is finally beginning to ease up. Oil keeps on surging, above $75 a barrel now. On Wall Street yesterday, the movement was mild. The S&P 500 was down about 0.3%, while the NASDAQ was flat. The Dow is off just 14 points at 9,871. J.P. Morgan will check in with quarterly earnings later this morning. Investors are sure to be watching that. Tomorrow is the deadline for Americans with offshore bank accounts to come clean to the IRS. Ever since Swiss bank UBS agreed to tattle on some of its American clients, Americans with offshore accounts have been faced with a choice, to tell or not to tell. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Barbara Kaplan of New York law firm Greenberg Traurig is working with about 70 clients who want to own up to the millions they've stashed abroad. Still, one out of 10 people who come to her decide to stay mum. She says they think they're unlikely to get caught, but...
Worst case scenario is if they're discovered, the IRS could investigate them for both criminal prosecution with respect to their noncompliance with the tax laws, and severe penalties can be imposed.
People are supposed to report offshore accounts containing more than 10 grand and pay taxes on the income. If they get caught, they can pay millions in back taxes and fines. Robert and Williams of the Tax Policy Center says coming clean has its complications too.
Then the IRS can open up your books for anything else, and they can talk to you about how did you find out about these accounts? Who was the broker that alerted you to this, or who, what friends told you about it?
He says admitting it can mean dragging lots of people down with you. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The chief economist for the Mortgage Bankers Association says foreclosures will peak by the end of next year as unemployment creeps above 10%. The forecast from economist Jay Brinkman came at the Trade Association's annual convention in San Diego. He said he expects unemployment to peak at 10.2% by mid-2010, and then economic activity should slow again in the first half of next year, picking up in the second half.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The U.S. Senate is considering pushing private lenders out of the student financial aid business. The legislation has already passed the House. It would effectively make the Education Department the dominant source of student loans. Republicans say they don't want the government that involved in college financing. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus says the real problem for him is how much the loans will cost. David, good morning.
Morning.
So how should we feel about the federal government being the source for student loans?
Well, I don't really have a big problem with that when you consider that it's the federal government's job anyway to make sure that everyone gets at least a high school education. So who should be making the call as to who gets a college education, the private sector or Uncle Sam? I don't have any problem with Uncle Sam doing it.
So if the federal government is the big dog, does that mean students benefit from better rates?
Well, that's the big question, because right now the rates aren't very attractive at all. In fact, the rates for the loans given under this program, so these are mandated by the federal government, range from 6.8% for some undergrad loans to 8.5% for graduate school level loans. Now, these are very high when you consider that the market for 30-year mortgages at the moment is about 5% or less. In fact, I was speaking the other day with the CEO of EdAmerica, which is one of the largest providers of student loans out there. And he said, I don't get it. These rates are way beyond what I'd like to be charging. I'd like to be charging market rates, but I can't because the federal government says we need to peg the loans at this level. And that means a lot of students and a lot of recent grads are paying way above market rates.
So why doesn't the government help out students? A student bailout.
Well, a student bailout, exactly. Why not? Because we help homeowners, we help banks, we help car makers, we help insurers. Indeed, students would probably be a good beneficiary of such largesse. The problem is it would take an act of Congress to lower these rates. Congress clearly has its plate full with other things, but considering these are the leaders of the private sector and the public sector in years ahead, probably a good investment for taxpayer money.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, back in the days of the Brady Bunch, Carol Brady was the helpful voice of reason.
Do you know what time it is? It's time we got a second phone.
You're right. No, a second phone should solve everything.
Well, just call me your little problem solver.
Okay, you're my little...
Oh, don't you dare.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now actress Florence Henderson sees her problem-solving reputation as a business opportunity. She's launching a tech support hotline for older adults called the Flow H Club. Henderson says she's managed to figure out text messaging and Skype and Facebook, and she wants to help other seniors do the same. Subscribers will pay $25 a month or $250 a year to ask how to download pictures from a digital camera or get a printer to print. Just it won't be Carol Brady on the phone. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.